Well, welcome and pat yourself on the back. You're doing fantastic. And welcome to stage 3, which is about surrender in the awakening course. Now, what usually happens along the way, what usually helps you awaken to each one of these stages is something like a story. And I had this happen to me several years ago. A friend of mine told me a story, and I didn't believe it at first. He told me this story about a therapist who worked for a mental hospital for the criminally insane. And he said, this therapist somehow, some way, used a Hawaiian healing technique and helped heal every one of those inmates, those patients. And the punchline was, he didn't even see any of them. And I thought, this isn't possible. I know about magic and miracles, and I know about remote healing, and I know about distant healing, and Reiki this, and energy that, and I just didn't feel that this was possible. So I dismissed it, which shows you how open-minded I've been in the past. Then a year after that, I heard the same story. And my friend who had told me this story said, did you ever check it out? Did you ever go find the therapist who healed all those mentally ill criminals? And I said, no, I more or less dismissed it. And he said, let's go online right now. And we had a laptop computer, and we turned it on, and we started looking around. And we found it very difficult to find information, at least at that point in time. And we kept looking, and we did find a name. And I didn't do anything at that point, but a few days later, when I was back in my own computer, in the comfort of my own home, I started really wondering about this therapist and this method of his, and was the story really true? And I became a detective, and I started looking, and my curiosity was off the charts, and I thought, if this is true, I have to tell people. Because if this is true, it hints at a miracle and a healing process that everybody needed to know. And so I became very excited about this. And I researched and I found that, yes, there was a therapist who worked for the Hawaii State Hospital for the mentally insane. Supposedly, he worked there for 4 years. Supposedly, within the first 2 years, using this method, he helped heal most of those inmates and they started to be released. Well, I became even more eager to find out this information. It's like, who is this guy and where is this guy? So I continued my research and I found him. And you can imagine how excited I was. I was like a little kid. I was just joyous to think I found this healer, this mystical man, this shaman. So I found him and I sent an email. There was no phone number for him, but I found an email. I sent it to him. He was very kind and he said I can talk to him on the phone. So we set up a time through email to talk on the phone. I called him. And he was very open-hearted and very generous. He spent 45 minutes with me on the phone. I was a nobody to him. He didn't know me at all. And he answered all my questions. And I said, was it true? Did you work for the hospital for the mentally insane? He said, yes. And I said, did you use some sort of healing method to heal them? He said, yes. And I said, well, what happened? What did you do? What was the method? I had all these questions. And he said this confusing statement. He said, all I did was clean on myself. And I thought, what does that mean? He said, I worked at that hospital, but I didn't see patients professionally. I agreed to be there, but I wanted to look at their charts, not them. And as he would look at their charts, he would feel whatever he felt. He felt anger. He felt frustration. He felt nausea, because these were people who had committed violent crimes. They were murderers. They were rapists. These were sad cases. But he would look, and he would note what he felt. He would then take what he felt skywards to what he called the divine. Some people would call that God or life or Gaia. He called it the divine. He said, I would take my feeling to the divine and I would say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. And I love you. Well, this didn't make any sense to me. I was very kind to him and I was very curious to him, but I was thinking, well, he sounds a little odd to me. This doesn't make sense in the way I understand reality to work. And so I kept exploring, and I said, tell me more. Tell me more about the hospital and what you were doing. And again, he was very kind and very generous. He said that the hospital was a despicable place, that most of the patients had to be shackled or sedated, that when he went there, the doctors were quitting after 30 days, the nurses would quit after a week or two, the turnover was atrocious because the hospital was hell on earth. People would walk down the halls of the hospital with their back against the wall because they were afraid of being attacked. That's how bad this was. He agreed to go there if he can do his own brand of healing. And again, I was asking him, what is his own brand of healing? And he said it was this Hawaiian technique called self-identity Ho'oponopono. And he said it, and of course, I couldn't repeat it. I couldn't spell it. I didn't know what he was talking about. But he said, no, it's self-identity Ho'oponopono. Well, I did my best to stay with him. And he continued by saying, you've heard the statement that you create your own reality. I thought to myself, yes, of course, that's in stage two. When you are empowered, you know that you create your own reality. That's part of being in stage two. He went on to say, well, if you create your own reality and a mentally ill patient shows up in your experience, didn't you create them too? And I had to stop and I had to take a deep breath and go, oh my God, that's a quantum leap in understanding the nature of personal responsibility. Because he was saying, if that person showed up in my life, I, in some way, shape, or form, helped create them. I helped create them. Whew, this is big even now for me to think about. But he went on to say that what he was doing, he was accepting that in some way he created that person in his life. He didn't create that person per se, but he created the experience of that person in his life. So he was taking the feeling that he had, and again, he's looking at their chart, and he's angry, or he's frustrated, or he's upset, or whatever it happens to be, and he's taking the feeling, that feeling. This is important. He's taking the feeling to the divine, and he's kind of giving a prayer. He's giving a petition. He's saying to the divine, I'm sorry, I have no idea what in me co-created this person, but I'm accepting that the person's in my life. Please forgive me for whatever I have done in my life, in my past, in my present. I'm not aware of what I did, but please forgive me for that. He goes on to say, thank you for taking care of this. Thank you for cleaning this. Thank you for taking care of this whole situation. He ended it by saying, I love you, which, as I found out, were the three most powerful words you could say. He's saying, I love you, not to himself, not to the person that he's thinking about, not to his file. He's saying it to the divine. He's saying it to God. He's saying, I love you. And by doing so, he's going into a state of surrender. And this is the characteristic of this stage three. It's surrender. So what I found out by this therapist is that we don't have as much control as we think we do. The therapist's name is Dr. E. Haleakala Hu Len. He has since become a friend of mine. I have done numerous workshops with him. We have now begun to do workshops together. We co-authored a book called Zero Limits, telling the whole story of his mental health years, how he helped those people, and how specifically by doing this Ho'oponopono healing clearing technique, within a few months, those patients who were shackled and sedated didn't have to be shackled or sedated anymore. And after about 6 months, some of them were being released. After about 2 years, they were almost all released. Now, this is the most eye-opening, amazing, miraculous story I've ever heard in my life. And I'm so blessed to know that I'm the person who has gotten to bring this to you through my book and now through this audio program, The Awakening Course. So in stage three, you surrender. But why do you surrender? And how do you surrender? And what do you surrender to? Now, it's very important to understand, and I had to learn this because of my time with Dr. Hu Len, is that most of us are driven by our ego. Especially in the first stage when we're a victim, our ego consciousness is all we have at that point. We are being hurt and scared and wounded every time we turn around. Our ego is on red alert at that point. And even in stage two, when we are empowered, our ego is still involved. Many of the intentions we go for and the things we say we want are extensions of our ego. They're not coming from the heart. They're not coming from the divine. Not for the most part. There are exceptions. And so what I've had to learn in stage three is to surrender all of that. When you surrender, you're no longer a victim, and you would go past empowered into a co-creating with the divine state of empowerment that is off the charts. This is where magic and miracles actually take place. So let's dissect this a little bit. Dr. Hu Len taught me that he said these four phrases, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. I've since learned that you can say them in any order. I've since learned that saying them silently to the divine, just your understanding of your connection to divinity, is the best way to do it. I also know that you can change the phrases. Some people aren't comfortable saying, I'm sorry. Well, you can say, I apologize. A new phrase that I've learned recently is to say, I'm grateful. So you can throw all of these in. You can mix them up to make yourself feel empowered by them. Or in my case, you can just actually say, I love you. I have found that if you just say, I love you to the divine, no matter what's going on in your life, you change your relationship to what's going on. And I love you is probably the three most powerful words, the most powerful mantra that you can say. And I've often told some of my talks, could you imagine what the world would look like if everybody was walking around and inside they're saying, I love you? What a different self-talk that would create and what a different vibe that would create in the world. We're all walking around. In fact, I challenge you to begin doing that right now as you're driving, as you're listening, as you're going about your day, just in your head, say, I love you. It'll make you smile a little bit, and there'll be a little bit more of a twinkle in your eye. Your energy will go up a little bit, and people will look at you wondering what you're thinking. You don't have to tell them that you're thinking, I love you, but you'll change everything around you by doing this. So what I learned from Dr. Hu Len is that our ego doesn't have a clue about what's going on. And if you're trying to drive your life with your ego, you're going to hit a lot of ditches, you're going to hit a lot of walls, you're going to have accidents, you're going to have problems. Now, why is that? Because your ego can only see a small sliver of the world. Your ego can only see, as I've said earlier on these sessions, through a peephole into the actual universe. The universe, the divine, even your unconscious mind can see the bigger picture. This is why I tell people that it's fine to have intentions. I've written about intentions in my book, The Attractor Factor. I've talked about it in earlier sessions. Those are good. But there's a difference between an ego intention and a divine intention. For example, I've said that I like cars. I have a small car collection. That's great. But if I wanted to have the world's largest car collection, one so big that Jay Leno, who is a car collector, would want one or would be jealous of mine, I'd be coming from ego. But if I just allow my goals or intentions to bubble up, for example, I attracted one of my cars by being urged from within, intuitively, to check eBay one day. And there, about to close in 2 hours, was an auction for a 1998 Panos Roadster that was owned by Steven Tyler of Aerosmith. And I thought to myself, I wonder why I just came across this. I didn't intend it. My ego didn't ask for it. This was not on my to-do list. This was not on my goals list. But there I was looking at it. And I couldn't help but feel that something within me was nudging me to go in that direction. Well, I conservatively placed a small bid for it. To my surprise, I won it. I now own a celebrity race car that, as I found out later, is very rare, is worth a lot of money, and because it was signed by Steven Tyler, it's worth even more than it would be if he just drove it and didn't sign it. Now, how did this come about? It did not come from my ego. It came from the divine working through me. All I did was say yes to the opportunity when I noticed it. This is an aspect of surrender. It's one of the things I've learned from Dr. Hu Len, who pointed out that, again, your ego doesn't have a real clue what's going on. There were experiments done, and I've written about this in my book, Zero Limits, by a scientist by the name of Benjamin Levitt. And these are the most eye-opening tests that you would ever imagine. Benjamin Levitt found out that when you decide to do something, it actually got triggered in your unconscious mind before it got to your conscious mind. In other words, if you reached over to pick up a pencil right now to make a note, the impulse to do that did not start in your conscious mind. It started in your unconscious mind. It then bubbled up to your conscious mind and you act on it. You felt that you had free will. You felt that you actually had control. But the reality, based on Levitt's scientific experiments, which have been repeated repeatedly, is the idea that this actually came from somewhere deeper. It came in your unconscious mind. Now, another way to look at this is pause and tell me, tell the person sitting beside you, or write it down, what your next thought will be. You can't do it. You can't do it because the thoughts bubble up unexpectedly. After the thought shows up, you can write it down. You can tell me what the thought was, but you can't predict your next thought. Why not? Because they're bubbling up from your unconscious mind. Your unconscious mind is this vast storehouse of memories, of beliefs, of delusions, of experiences, and in Dr. Hu Len's world, even past lives. He says that we have to clean all of that up, that we're actually robots, for the most part, that are just acting on whatever impulse shows up, whether it seems to be a divine one or an egoic one. He says that all I'm here to do, speaking of himself, is to clean. When I first talked to him on that phone call that fateful day so many years ago, and he said, all I did with the patients, all I do now, and all I'm doing on the phone with you right now, Joe, is I'm cleaning. And when I persisted to find out what that meant, he kept saying, all I'm doing in my head is saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. He was doing that because he was doing his best to clean the unconscious, to clear it of any limitations, any beliefs, any past experiences, any programming that is creating the things he's having in his life. Now, I've learned to do that to the extent that it is my new self-talk. I talked earlier about the self-talk most of us have as being very critical. We're putting ourselves down, or we're complaining about this, or moaning about that. Well, my new self-talk is silently in my brain, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. I'm saying that in my mind as I'm talking to you right now. I'm cleaning the internal part of me as I'm speaking to you. Why? Because I'm trying to be as pure a vessel of communication from the divine to you as I possibly can. Knowing that there's a lot of interference, knowing that Joe's personality is here, knowing that Joe has beliefs and limitations and past experiences all per Dr. Hulan and his Hawaiian belief, that I have a lot of clearing to do. I have a lot of cleaning to do. For Dr. Hulan, that's all there is cleaning. Now, at this point, I've done many workshops with him, and as I mentioned, we've done workshops together, and we're still doing them together, and I'm still growing. I love being with him because he has this calm vibe. He's just doing his best to stay in the moment and to keep cleaning in the moment so he can do whatever the divine asks of him in the moment. Some people will ask questions, and they'll ask pretty much the same question over and over and over again. How do I remove this person, this thing, this problem from my life? And he has them look and say something to the effect of, have you always noticed or have you ever noticed that whenever there's a problem, you are there? You are there. You are participating in the problem. You don't think you are. Again, that's sliding back into victim consciousness. And it's very possible through any of these first three stages to slide in and out of being a victim or being empowered or surrendering. So you have to be on constant self-alert and self-aware and constantly clearing and cleaning. So Dr. Hulan would answer the question by saying, have you ever noticed that you're always there? No matter what the problem is you're complaining about, you are there. The one common element that shows up every time you have something to complain about is you. So he goes on to say, you created it. If you think you created your own reality, this is your reality. You created it. So what do you do about it? He says, take the feeling, take the complaint. Don't hold it within. Don't give it to the other person or the other building or the other company or whoever you're complaining about. Take it to the divine, and you take it to the divine in a prayerful way. Again, I'm sorry. I have no idea what within me has created this, but here it is, so I must have participated in some way. Please forgive me. Please forgive me because I've been unconscious. I have not known what I have done to make this happen, to create this reality. Thank you. Thank you for my life. Thank you for taking care of this. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for being the divine and giving me this miracle of my breathing, living being. And then ending with, I love you. And I swear, if you say I love you with total sincerity and you really feel that the divine is listening to you, you'll move into this state of rapture. You'll move into the state where tears come to your eyes and you think, what a great gift to be alive. What a great gift to be here, to be now, to be participating, to be awakening. What a great gift, and thank you. Thank you. You move into the state of gratitude, and maybe you will say, I am grateful at that point. But when you move into the state of love, you're actually merging with the divine. Because if there's any one word to describe the divine, it is love. It is love. So I can talk forever about Dr. Hulan's self-identity, Ho'oponopono, and the idea of surrendering. But the one thing that I really want you to get is that no matter what is going on in your life, you have to take responsibility for it. It's not blame. You're not saying that you beat yourself up for it. My favorite statement is to say, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And the best way to handle it is to surrender. You surrender the problem, just raise it up to the divine and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. and I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, and I love you. I love talking about this particular stage, the stage of surrender, but I want to make sure you understand what this is really like. You know, in stage one and you feel like you want to pray for help, you basically come from the mindset of, God, help me. God, help me. You're begging for help in many ways because you feel like you're a victim. You feel like the world is out to get you. And that's one way to know what stage you're in is how are you praying? How are you addressing the divine or God or whatever your concept is of the supreme being? In stage two, you're saying something in a prayer to the effect of, I can do this with or without you. You have a feeling of empowerment, and maybe there's a little bit of ego. You're strutting a little bit, and if you talk to God at all, maybe you're saying, thank you for what I have, and maybe you're asking for more things. You don't feel so much like a victim, but you're trying to edge your bet, and you're asking the divine to help you out. But in stage three, you're basically having a prayer of surrender. You say, I can't handle this by myself. I can't resolve this by myself. I could use your help. And you're not coming from a victim mentality. You're actually coming from a beloved, heartfelt connection to the divine itself. In some ways, you realize that the divine is in you and the divine is in everybody else, and you're making a prayer, a request, a petition to say, I don't know how to resolve this. I can use your help. You don't hear any desperation in your prayer. You don't hear any desperation in your voice. It's a simple, sincere request for assistance. And also in this third stage of a prayerful attitude, you are giving up control. That's what surrender is all about. You're giving up your control. But let's look at that for a little bit. So why would you want to give up control? And it's the idea that you can't control everything. You can't control the universe. You can't control everything in your life. You've already been trying, and if you're honest with yourself, you see that it hasn't totally worked. So you have to give up. You have to surrender. But there's nothing negative to that because you still have your ego. Your ego is going to be with you. Your ego is actually a survival tool. It's to help you drive through the day and not walk into walls so that you go through the right doors. It's to help you to do what you need to do to have a nice life. I've learned, though, that the ego and your conscious mind can make requests of the universe with a feeling of surrender to get even a better life going for you. But the problem is when you try to control, you're coming from your ego, and your ego can't see the big picture of the universe. That's the big concern there. I also want you to know that when you ask for something, pay attention to whether it's coming from your heart or your head. This is one way I know that when I bid on that one car that was owned by Steven Tyler, that it was actually right for me to do so, is that my passion was off the charts. It wasn't just a nice thing or a heady thing or a intellectual concept that, oh, if I buy his car, I'll be able to resell it later and I'll make money. There was no charge on that. There was no emotion on that. There was no passion on that. But I was looking at it like, well, I already have a Pinot's car. And I know that they're wonderful cars. This one looks fantastic. It looks very rare. And it was signed by this rock star, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith. My passion was through the roof. And my passion, my enthusiasm, my excitement was a real key, a real clue that the universe, the divine, was nudging me in that direction. I have learned in the business world, for example, that a real key to success is to follow your passion. When you follow your passion, Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. It's the same thing. Follow your passion, follow your bliss, follow your excitement. When you follow that deeper rush of energy within you, it's pointing you in the right direction. It's pointing you on your path. This is very important, and this is part of surrendering. Again, your ego might say, well, it'd be wiser if I became a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or something in particular. But your divine path coming from the divine might want you to be an artist or a musician or a plumber. It can be any number of things. I don't want to put a limit on it, and I don't want to judge it. And you don't want to judge it either, because as soon as you start judging it, you're coming from your ego. This is all part of letting go. Now, I also want to address the idea of feeling bad. What I mean by that is some people hear about surrender, they've done a workshop with Dr. Hulan, or even myself, or they've read Zero Limits, and maybe they've had something tragic happen in their lives. I knew one person who had a baby die, and she looked at this whole aspect of total responsibility and really beat herself up, thinking, why did she die? I prayed. I did everything. I even did the Dr. Hu Len method, the whole Ho'oponopono method. And then I said, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I wanted that child to live, but the child still died. What was going on? And as Dr. Hu Len would point out, you were probably praying for the wrong thing. In this third stage, when you pray, you're basically coming from the phrase, not my will, but thine be done. Now, this is very powerful. I first came across this because I wrote a book on P.T. Barnum, the man who was a circus genius. He was a marketing genius. My book was called There's a Customer Born Every Minute. And when I was doing research on him, I went to where he was buried in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Now, you have to remember, Barnum was not just a circus promoter. He was an author. He was a speaker. He was an entrepreneur. He was a publicity genius. He was a politician. He was elected twice as mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut. He cared about people and causes. He invented a lot of things that we still use today and a lot of terms that we still use today. He was, in all aspects, a marketing business genius. When I found his tombstone, which was just a small little marker on the grassy hill, on it was listed the phrase, which was his motto, "Not my will, but thine be done." When I first saw that, I was shocked because I thought, wasn't he an egomaniac who controlled everything around him? And as I researched and wrote my book on him, I realized that he actually practiced this spirituality of letting go. He was actually in the stage three where he was awakened to know that he had to surrender. And all the things that he did in the business world, he was doing because his passion drove him there. And he knew that the bottom line for him was, if things didn't work out, it was because of a higher reason that he didn't even know at the time. His museum that he so loved, the American Museum in downtown New York, burned to the ground twice. His Iranistan mansion, which was one of the most talked about mansions on the planet in the 1800s, burned to the ground. His wife died before him. He had a child die before him. In every case, he was managing to survive it and be okay with it and be at peace with it because he kept saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." So the woman who had lost her child, Dr. Hu Len had pointed out that you don't know what the cause is at a deeper level that comes from the divine. You don't know what the best is for everybody involved. What you have to do is clean on how you feel. If you're not feeling happy and at peace and trusting right now in this moment, you take what you're feeling and you address the divine and you say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you." And I know this takes enormous trust, but when you feel like you can't trust, that's when you want to take that feeling and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you." I want you to know just how powerful and even practical this tool is. This is a way that you can actually improve your business, your bottom line, fatten your wallet and your bank account. For example, I'm also known as an internet marketer. When I sit down to write an email to send out to my list to tell them about a new book or a product or a service or a website or a seminar, in my mind I'm thinking, "I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you." So as I'm writing it, I'm cleaning. I'm cleaning anything within me that I'm conscious of or unconscious of that might interfere with me getting the result I want. So I do have an intention to get something done. I do want to send out an email. I do want people to respond to it, but I don't want to control it. All I want to do is trust that it'll work out the way it needs to work out. I want the divine to rule. So I just keep cleaning on all the feelings I have, and I keep infusing my mailing with love. As it turns out, my mailings seem to do fantastic. I get fantastic results. But it's not just me. When I was first writing my book, Zero Limits, I had a friend of mine, Bill Hibbler. He and I wrote a book called Meet and Grow Rich. Bill wanted to test this. He's very intelligent and also very skeptical. And he wanted to find out that could he really improve his results and his sales by just saying, "I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you." So he put it to a test. He thought of his list. Now, he just thought of his list. Now, this is a list of his customers. He didn't mail anything to his list. He thought of his list. As he was thinking of his list, he was saying, "I love you." He was thinking, "I love you," to his list. if there was anything that came up like, well, I don't know if they're feeling a thing by me sitting here and not talking to my list directly, or I don't know if this is actually working, and I don't know if Joe is off his rocker. I don't know if this Dr. Hulan is a crazy oddball character or what, but I'll just say I love you to my list. And as all this other stuff came up within him, he would clean on it, and he would just kind of automatically say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Just kind of by rote, just I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. To his amazement, he got 41% more sales that month without doing any mailing at all, as opposed to the month before. He also compared the month from the previous year. So if he did this in December and he only did the cleaning, he looked at last December to see if there was any surge. There wasn't. The only thing he did different to get these results was he sat down in front of his computer and he talked to the divine and he thought about his list. And he loved them, and when he had concerns or hesitations or objections within his mind, he cleaned on them. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. This is how profound it is. I know a car salesman in California who is secretly a big fan of this Ho'oponopono and the Dr. Hulan method and my work and so forth. And he will be cleaning when he talks to people that come in to buy a car. And there will be people who walk in who say, I'm just looking, don't sell me anything, don't even give me a brochure, just looking. And he'll say, just fine, okay. And in his mind, he's cleaning. Now, I've asked him point blank, I said, do you carry on a conversation with them? And he'll say, yeah, I'll talk to them about the weather, or if they have questions about the car, I'll answer it. But in my mind, all I'm doing is cleaning. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. This man has the record-breaking car sales status of everybody in his industry for that make and model. He has sold more cars than anybody else, and he's the most laid-back person, that all he's doing, his secret weapon to bringing in sales, is to say, I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, silently to everybody he meets. Because of that, these people feel something when they're around him. People who walk in and who are just looking sometimes leave having bought two cars, his and her cars, when they just came in to buy nothing and possibly maybe one. So is this practical? Absolutely yes. It's working on all levels and it's working all the time. And if, for example, you're listening and you think, well, maybe it worked for you, maybe it worked for him, maybe it worked for Bill, maybe it worked for Dr. Hulan, but that doesn't mean it's going to work for me. Guess what? You clean on that. You take that very feeling. You roll your eyes to the heavens and you say, I'm sorry. I don't know where that feeling came from. I don't know where my objections and negativity came from. Please forgive me for them. I don't know how that showed up in my life. Thank you for taking care of it. Thank you for listening to me. And I love you. And at first, when you first say these, you may not really feel them. But as you say these, and especially after you start seeing results from surrendering, from going into this third stage of awakening, you will want to do more and you will feel the bliss of doing this in this very moment. A wonderful side benefit from doing this particular method is the idea that it removes your worry. So if you happen to be worried about something, you're worried about a job interview, you're worried about the check showing up, you're worried about what somebody's going to say, you take that very worry, that very concern, and you ho'oponopono it. What you basically do is say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And again, it sounds so simple, but when you do this, you release the worry, you actually shrug it off. You might sit up straight, you might breathe a little bit different, you might have a smile on your face, the whole world changes. The reality is, as Mark Twain said, most of the things that you worry about never happen. When you let go of the worry, you give yourself an opening for the divine to surprise you with something wonderful. I will be talking about this later, but the real thing that you want in your life is actually in this moment. And by clearing away everything that takes you from this moment, you realize that now is the true miracle. Well, at this point, let's go to your workbook, because this is a fun time to go ahead and list everything that might be of concern to you. It can be anything about from your job to your relationships, mothers who are concerned about kids. You might be concerned about your health. You might be concerned about your next mortgage payment or car payment. You might be concerned about the environment. You might be concerned about the political climate. There's all kinds of things that might show up. And as you understand by now, if they're showing up in your reality, you've participated on some level in the creating of them. So in your workbook, make a long list of all of these things. It's a wonderful thing to just dump them on paper. It's very freeing and it's very therapeutic all by itself. So I invite you and even challenge you to make a complete and exhaustive list. There's plenty of room in your workbook to do this. Anything and everything that shows up, anything that disturbs you, anything that worries you, anything that's been on your mind repeatedly that just keeps showing up, put that down on paper. Put it in your workbook. Don't judge it. Don't condemn it. Don't judge yourself. Don't blame yourself. All we're doing is taking an inventory of the things that disturb you at this point. Put those in your workbook. And after you're done, what I'm going to invite you to do next is to clean on one of them. Now, you can do this repeatedly. You don't need my help to do it, but I'll help you the first time around. What you do is you look at that entire list, and if you haven't made the list yet, that's all right. Pick whatever comes to mind right now. Something is no doubt bothering you. It's pretty much the human condition is that there's something that's on your mind, something that irritates you, something that you would complain about. It's okay to have that. I want you to acknowledge it, and I want you to hold on to it for a moment. So pick something, anything, for the purposes of this exercise, and I'm going to walk you through the cleaning experience. Now follow along with me, because for the next 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to guide you in a clearing process. You can do this on one item or on several items. Whatever comes up, go ahead and write it down, put it in your workbook, and you might even keep track of what's going on for the next 30 days. Maybe do this for a couple minutes a day, every day, for 30 days. Write it in your workbook and see how your life evolves and how it changes by just awakening to the stage of surrender. What I'm going to do is first ask you to hold on to that feeling, and then second, silently repeat the phrases, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And I'm going to repeat these several times for several minutes. You can say them silently in your mind. You can say them along with me or speed them up if you like. And just allow the feeling that you have to be there as you ask the divine to let it go. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
This is the end of session 4.